All right, please be seated. Wow. What if we just said amen and went to bed, went back home? We would be a blessed people, wouldn't we? Unbelievable. But for us, it's believable. It's believable. You know, as Al mentioned, the world is trying to constantly tear us down, talk us out of who we are in Christ. But here we are, many years later, we stand here today with our feet firmly on the ground and take a stand with what God has taught us over the years. Well, I want to bring greetings to those who have called in on the Believer's Line, and those of you here, and as well as Facebook Live. This is modern technology, so we go all around the world. But it's the heart of God's Word that we're really trying to communicate and get across. And I trust that we've done a pretty good job at doing that over the years. But I'm really thankful for something else. I'm thankful that I've had two parents who've instilled me with godly principles each and every day. And still to this day, they try to motivate me to live my best for God. I've been exposed to the greatness and the integrity and accuracy of God's Word for nearly 30 years, and I still enjoy it every single day of my life, spending time with the Father. And as stubborn as we could all be at times, here we are. Because why do we choose to stay on the path that God has chosen for us? Because the Word of God speaks for and of itself. You know, in Hebrews 4:12 it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's why the Word is such a strong foundation for so many people across the world. Well, this morning we're going to have some fun. I've partnered with another wonderful minister and man of God who has been ultra faithful to the body of Christ in our ministry. So we're looking forward to that. Recently, we've had some incredible themes. We started off the year by focusing on the power of God that lives inside of us and how to fully utilize it in our lives, standing behind that authority that is the Word of God. And most recently, I think we're kind of moving into what I call going back to the basics, the strong foundation in our lives, Christ within. So I'd like to start off by reading something to you. And this is a quote from Allison Smith a few years ago. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. You know, the devil cannot just walk right up to you and rob you of your health, your peace, or your family. He cannot just come into your life and force disease and destruction. If the devil can do that, then he does not have to walk about seeking whom he may devour. He would simply just walk up to anyone he wants to devour and then devours them. But since the Bible says that he goes about seeking whom, the truth is there are people whom he cannot devour. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, trying to stir up fear in people with his roars. But the people who are not devourable are those who refuse to be intimidated by his roars. They resist the devil. They are steadfast in the faith. They know that Christ lives in them and that he is greater than the devil who is in the world. Once the devil knows that you believe your rights, your privileges, your authority, and your power in Christ, his days of intimidating are over. You are numbered among the undevourable. Isn't that something? Really something, guys. Well, a few weeks ago I did a sharing at the beginning of the month that I entitled Rooted and Grounded, and that was all about being grounded in the Word of God. And I'd like to take it kind of even further this morning and see what else the Father can teach us about this wonderful subject. So, after a seed is planted, what happens next? Well, exactly. A tree starts to grow. However, what does a tree or a plant need in order to keep growing? It needs water and the proper amount of plant food, mainly water. A plant or a tree must be placed in an area where it receives the proper amount of sunlight as well. Plant food, water, and sunlight are the basic needs of just about every living thing on this planet. Now think about it. When that someone came up to us just about, who knows how many years ago, they planted a seed. And that seed had to be watered over the years to get us to where we are at this point in our lives. So, you could take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. I'm going to start there this morning. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Plain and simple. When you trust God, your foundation is strengthened by faith. You know what trusting God looks like? Well, letting go of all the cares, the pressures, the worries, the cares and the concerns, and any other thing that may present itself as something that will take you out of the state of trust with the Father. And as I shared last time, it seems like it's becoming more and more difficult to walk and stay firm due to the cultural climate, the political atmosphere, and whatever else the case may be. The list goes on and on. And this has always been a fallen world, but from the moment mankind took heed of that one tree, it has just gotten worse and worse and worse. Unfortunately, it's going to continue to go down the rabbit hole from now until the end of time. So, with all this being said, I'd like to once again briefly go over what I like to call five ways to water our roots. And this is not the entire list by any means. There's plenty of more ways, and I encourage you to further work the word a little bit more on this. But the first and probably most important one of all is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's one of the shortest verses in the entire Word of God, and you're welcome to turn there. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." When you pray, you spend time with the Father. And which in turn is exercising your spiritual well-being. And I think we all know what happens when we don't have an adequate prayer life. Our faith levels go down. And this happens quite a bit with people. When we don't keep and practice good habits, they go completely away. But guess what? The more time you spend with the Father, the more you trust Him. And the more you trust Him, the stronger your foundation becomes. You know, speaking of a tree that is rooted firmly into the ground and is given the proper amount of water bears more fruit than that one which is not. A tree cannot grow fruit unless its root system is strong. And for us, unless our faith is strong, there's no grounding. Our faith, the faith for the born again one, is like the soil or earth that a tree needs to be planted in to grow. Well, the second one, number two, simply stop worrying. Don't become worry weary. Has anyone ever been there? Every hand should be going up right now. Absolutely. Anybody know what happens when somebody gets a little bit tired? Well, they become weak, and all they want to do is lay in bed. When you get tired, your strength level decreases, and all you want to do is sleep or rest and recuperate. But you'll notice that this goes right back to number one in Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6, we all know this one. It says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Worry less, pray more. But you know what? The more you ground yourself in prayer, many times the burdens, the cares, the worries, all that stuff will go completely away. Number three, don't look down. We had a discussion about this. And when you're not looking up, you're looking down. But when you are looking down, what are we normally looking at? Our phones, our emails, anything else other than looking back up at who we are in Christ, looking at our spiritual authority. Our thoughts, our abilities, our accomplishments, our own struggles, our problems, our this, our that, you fill in the blank. There are so many things that distract us from the presence of God and where we need to be. We need to be looking up at our spiritual authority. Who we are, what we've been made to be, and not who we are or who we aren't, and what we can and can't do, no matter how tired or inadequate we may feel at times. We're not victors, we are victors, we're not victims. So why don't we go to Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, let's read verse 9. This, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Plain and simple. Number four, give yourself the proper amount of spiritual food or water. In other words, be diligent. Diligence. You know, God is not puppet master. We're not puppets on a string. He's given us free will. But many people think that once they're saved and they become born again, that they don't need the Word of God. Hello? Hello? I mean, Vicki shared on this the other week. If you're going to live the Word, you got to know the Word. Right? And we all know 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You may not have been in the Word for all your life. You may be this, you may be that. It doesn't matter, because God is not a respecter of persons. And you may not be an expert on every single piece of doctrine inside the Word, but guess what? I don't think one of us has it all mastered. But you know what? This is what strengthening our foundation in God's Word is all about. And if you haven't noticed, not every tree out there looks exactly the same. In other words, each of us have different attributes that give to the body of Christ. You know, when we were first introduced to the Word, like I mentioned before, a seed was planted. And after that, the seed that was planted had to be watered with more and more of the Word of God. And eventually we developed a strong enough root system or foundation to propel us further into our relationship with God. But it's a never-ending process. Even when a tree or a plant is fully grown, it still needs water to stay alive and live out its full entire life. So, the fruit of the Spirit. What better way to look at this than Galatians 5:22? Really, it's four ways. I think I said five, but we're going to do four today. Galatians before Ephesians. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, folks, this is just the beginning. As promised, I mentioned that I had joined forces with another wonderful minister and man of God who has seen many seeds planted. And he himself has been a wonderful laborer to the harvest and just a constant in our ministry in the body of Christ. So this time we're going to bring on the line Reverend Barney Barnhart from the great state of Oklahoma. So Barney, bless your heart,
yes,
sir.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Blessing to be here together with you all. Wonderful subject that we're developing here, and kudos to you, Daniel, for that sharing. Wonderful. But as you know, everywhere we look around, all around us, we see trees. I don't know if you've been up to the Linfelds recently, but I know Bob and Jeannie just gave their tree out in front a major haircut. And so that made quite a change. And you know what? Trees have been always very significant in the Bible. In the beginning, humans were blessed to live in the Garden of Eden, as you remember, also known as paradise, and a central aspect of paradise were trees. And they just are described in Genesis 2:9, which I can read here for you. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, believe it or not, nothing else is described as pleasing to the eye in the creation account. What stood at the center of the garden? Trees. The tree of life with its life-giving fruit, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil from which humans were not to eat. And we know and have learned from Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve sinned by eating from this second tree. They brought sin to humanity and to the rest of creation. As a result, they were banished from the garden and significantly from the tree of life. And you know, as the Bible has unfolded, which we get the benefit of now being able to look back, this ongoing story of salvation, wholeness, redemption is to bring humanity back to the tree of life, a setting of perfect alignment and harmony with God and one another in a restored creation. Think of this. Jesus paid the price for our sin on a tree, which is another word for what we've commonly known as the cross. This dead tree became a symbol of salvation, which then was pointing to the flourishing tree of life in the new heavens and a new earth in Revelation 22. So between the tree of life in Genesis and in Revelation, how are we then to live? Well, Daniel, thank you. You laid a great foundation here, because we are to live like a tree, like a tree. And you can take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 1, a familiar verse of Scripture, but just so rich and so encouraging. Just love this. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man or the woman that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So, drawing nourishment and food from God's word makes one like a strong tree. And the path towards success from God's perspective is best understood by delighting in the law of the Lord and observing a thriving tree. A couple other great verses here. One in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. Where it says, wisdom is a tree of life that will lead to blessing. Let's read it together here. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. You can read in the context that subject matter is about wisdom. It says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. You know that that word blessed in Psalm 1 has also been translated, is happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Boy, something, huh? And then in Psalm 92, verse 12, it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And of course, we may or may not understand that this palm tree refers to the date palm, which is a desert tree, while the cedars of Lebanon were the tallest and most massive trees in the region, located in the mountains which were north of Israel. But despite their differences, both trees were very picturesque, very strong, long-lived, and a kind of a fitting metaphor for a godly life. Well, you know, when it comes to the New Testament, there is more to trees than the story maybe of a Zacchaeus, who was, the tax collector and tree climber. He climbed a tree related to the fig family, not a sycamore. And then Jesus used the mustard seed and tree to speak of the growth of his kingdom. And Jesus used a fig tree to describe his second coming after the resurrections in Mark chapter 13. In Romans 11, that Paul uses an olive tree to explain salvation in the people of God, both Jew and Gentile, separate people for generations who are now come together as one in Christ. The ability to graft branches into an olive tree describes how two diverse groups become united. Throughout God's word, this analogy, metaphor, similarity to life and trees is just so incredibly amazing. In Psalm 96, verse 12, to look at that real quick, I love this. It says, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. And then in Isaiah 55, 12, it says, all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Psalms, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Isaiah 55, all the trees, verse 12, Isaiah 55, 12, all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Well, that's obviously some type of figurative usage. But even when we go out into nature, or we go to see the sequoias or the redwoods, and we're amazed at the beauty of a forest, or the shape and stature of a majestic tree. We used to look off the Linfelt's patio there, and you could see these huge pine trees that were just so, they were Torrey pines, I believe. I think that's what they were, but Bob can correct me. Anyway, they were just beautiful and massive trees. And so what does that cause then? It kind of stirs a part of you that just wants you to offer worship and praise to God. And that's exactly what Psalm 96 and Isaiah 55 are talking about. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, Isaiah. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. If you've ever thought about how trees grow, trees lift their limbs in praise to their Creator. And in doing so, they point us to God. So what's always the right answer in every given situation? Worship. Worship. Remember, it's simple. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy mind, and love others as thyself. But our first and primary privilege and joy is to be able to worship, worship. And so when we are blessed, we praise, we worship. And when we are troubled, we praise and we worship. When life is going well, we praise and we worship. And life is not going so well, we praise and we worship. Amen? So awesome. So a lot of correlations here with trees in the Bible. And again, I want to close. I want to use this verse again that Daniel read in opening his teaching in Jeremiah 17:7. And then we'll read it from a different translation to kind of wrap this thing up. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed or happy is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Well, I looked this up in a number of different translations, and the one I'd like to share with you is from the Amplified. It says, blessed with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord. Verse 8, for he will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear the heat when it comes. But its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious or concerned in a year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit. The depth of those roots that had been planted by that tiny little seed, as they have grown and developed, it has grown us up into Christ, yes, but grown us up into this praiseworthy relationship with Almighty God, that we lift our arms like those limbs of those big trees and just saying, God, you're so great. You're so good. And we love you with everything we are. So Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us more about your nature, Father, and we can't capture everything in a 10 or 15, 20 minute sharing, Lord, but I pray that you see the hearts of everyone listening, everyone who's there, person at Point Loma, and the people who will hear this in the days and months and years to come. Thank you, God, for your love and grace and kindness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.